Yeah. So, last time you spoke about how Chaitanya's hagiography, biography is written. Who are the devotees who actually wrote about Chaitanya's biography? And we also saw some of the reasons why each biography was written. And briefly we also saw the difference between all the biographies. And then, in short, we also described how this Chaitanya Charitamrita is laid out. With that brief background, we'll go a little further today, because next week we'll have we'll go much deeper, because the week after that, the following Monday, Tuesday, we'll be having Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance day. So today we'll try to we'll see how much we can cover. So the text which I'm going to read is from the Adi Lila, the third chapter, and is the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. There are a couple of verses which I thought maybe we should speak, but like one verse which I think is good to chant is the very fourth verse. The verse is Anarpita Charim Chirat Karunya Avtiranaha Kalau Samarpayutum Unnatojvala Rasam Svabhakti Shriyam Hari Puratta Sundara Dyuti Kadamba Sandipitaha Sadaridhaya Kandare Spurato Vaha Shachi Nandanaha. This verse is actually from Vidagdha Madhava, from Rupa Goswami's composition. And the verse translation is like this. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendently situated in the innermost core of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of transcendental devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Adi Lila is one of the unique compositions. If you see that he doesn't speak about Lord Chaitanya's birth until the 13th chapter. Before that, he just describes about what is, in what mood, and he just tries to lay out the background about the entire Chaitanya Lila. So here he is trying to explain what are the reasons of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So we'll see both today, the external and internal reasons, and then we'll see some of the things if our time permits, we'll see also the other things. So here it is being explained that this is a prayer actually to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that please allow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be in our heart. Now, in this chapter, it is explained that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes once in a life, once in a day of Lord Brahma. And the reason why he comes is explained in Bhagavad Gita as well. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has proclaimed that he appears in this world to annihilate the miscreants and to re-establish the religion and to protect his devotees. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharat abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam sarjamyaham paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So that's the reason which Lord Krishna comes to this world. Now, Lord Krishna, when he came to planet Earth in this Kali Yuga, during that time, there was already so much of irreligion which was spread. Even now also it is there. But he came because of the prayers of Sri Advaita Acharya. We saw in one of our past lectures that how Advaita Acharya, he calls out the names of Lord Hari because he finds himself incapable. And he thinks that I alone cannot actually bring any good to all the people here. And such a irreligion has spread all over, all around, and people are so much engaged in just gratifying their senses in this in material enjoyment. They are not showing any kind of interest in spiritual practices. So he thought, okay, let me call out the name of Hari, Lord Hari. So he comes personally, and then he'll actually deliver the people. So it is from the Gautami Tantra, as it is explained, that when somebody offers tulsi leaves to Shaligram Shiva, okay, Lord Krishna hears the prayers of that devotee. So following that instruction, every day he was offering the water from the Ganges, and then he was offering the tulsi leaves and very intensely praying to Lord Krishna that, my dear Lord, please appear, please come. And then his prayers was so intense, he was praying so sincerely that it went all the way to the abode of Lord Krishna, and Krishna heard this prayers, and then he decided to appear. And he appeared in the on the planet Earth as Lord Chaitanya. Now Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna himself. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. So he is Krishna himself, but also he is actually even Srimati Radharani. He comes in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Avatar, in general people say that it's an avatar. Avatar means what? Avatarti iti avatar. The one who appears, who comes as it is, as Krishna himself. So that is avatar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. So he is non-different than Lord Krishna. That means all the forms which comes, okay, which actually appears, he is the source of that form. Okay, so he is not any incarnation. I mean, he is not a form of Krishna, but he is Krishna himself. So from him, all other forms have appeared. So Krishna, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the source of all other forms. So in this chapter, it is being explained the reasons that how that time so much of irreligion was spread, and just by the prayer of a pure devotee, Lord Krishna appeared on this planet Earth. So here two things shows that how compassionate, how munificent are his devotees. We have heard about that Lord is very compassionate, but we can see here that how even his devotees, they actually acquire the same nature. And out of that magnanimity, the devotees call out the name of Lord, and they want to actually give the Krishna to others, because they relish, they actually get pleasure in taking Krishna's names, or in remembering Krishna, in getting engaged in devotional service. That becomes their life and soul. And when they see that other people are not engaged in such kind of activities, so what do they want? They want to give it to others. So out of that compassion, they pray to Lord Krishna very fervently. And this is what the Sri Advaita Acharya did. And this is what the mood of all the preachers should be. In that mood. Not out of superiority or out of display of our talent or to show that how we are actually following some noble path. We should not be in that mood. We should show like a real compassion to others. How we can be of some help to others. This should be our mood. That's if we are in that mood, then actually whatever we try to do, that will bring some good to others. And it is also said that if our motive is not proper, if our intention is not proper, then what will happen? Whatever we try to deliver, it may not yield any fruits. So we have to be very, very careful. What is there if Krishna wants, he can actually make the entire, not just planet Earth, but no, the whole creation, he can make Krishna consciousness if he wants. Why did he leave up to you? We say at one point of time, in one side, that we say that Krishna is actually omnipotent. If he is omnipotent, why can't he make Krishna conscious to everybody? He can. He definitely can. It is not. It's just like, you know, he can just like, you know, with a on a tip of his finger, he can just like, you know, he can just make everybody a Krishna consciousness. But he just wants to see like how sincerely we are trying. We are trying to, we are engaging ourselves. We are endeavoring in his goal or in his purpose of bringing all living entities at his lotus feet. That is what he wants to see. That sincere effort is good enough. It doesn't matter how successful, like how failure you are. You can, or how many attempts your attempts went actually fruitless. It doesn't matter. What Lord Krishna sees actually your sincerity, not your fruits. So that is more important. So that's one of the reasons why we should actually keep trying, keep praying. People generally look at the results. Okay, how many devotees I have made? What is that? That is not. It's not. That's not the point. You may have actually brought 100 people to like, you know, at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. But you know, if you have any like, you know, tinge of pride, you know, Lord Krishna will not like that at all. And moreover, we have to see that, like, you know, what is the purpose? Like, you know, how did they actually come to the Krishna's lotus feet? Without Krishna Shakti, it is not possible at all. Krishna Shakti vina nahi tar pravartan. If we don't have that purity, if we don't have, like, you know, Krishna's empowerment, we will not be able to do anything at all. So we have to understand that whom we have to give the credit to. And it is also said that if we do not give credit to our acharyas, to our disciplic succession, then we are bound to get any sinful reactions in our endeavor what we undertake. So it is very careful, it's a very safe position that whatever we do, we just give it hand over to our parampara. So that way we will be just be a messenger. Okay, we are just a postman delivering the message of Lord Krishna to others. That's it. That should be our role. And that should be our motive. Nothing more and nothing less. And that's the safest position. So here the external reason has been mentioned, that how Lord Krishna wanted to spread the Sankirtan movement to everybody. He wanted to give the holy name to others. For that reason, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And we saw how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was mad. Is completely maddened by the love of Lord Krishna. And he wanted to just give the same love of Lord Krishna to others, the Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the holy name to others. That should be the goal. Okay, and he came to teach by his own example that what should we do actually? What should be our intention? And what is the thing we should actually give it to others? Now, what is the significance of giving this Harinam or this chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra? Now, in this age of Kali, in this chapter it is being explained that how, like, you know, at different times, in different ages, how different practices are prevalent. And in this age of Kali, only one practice is more significant and more important, and that is the chanting of the holy name. And in many scriptures, right from the Kali Santaran Upanishad, where it is being said that Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Iti Shodashak Naam Naam, Kali Kalmasha Nashnam, Nataha Paratoropaya, Sarva Vedeshu Drishyate. So in that scripture also it is mentioned that holy name, the chanting of this Maha Mantra, is the only way of deliverance in this age of Kali. There is no other way. So we should not engage in any other practices. Even if we do not do any other practices, that's still okay. Like, because this is the only process which has been recommended, and we should try and seek shelter of holy name as much as possible. So one of the things I am thinking that as Prabhuji I was explaining, that if we are not able to enforce anything, I am thinking we should enforce one thing, that during japa period everybody should be there. I think this is what I am thinking, that at least maybe at the japa period everybody should chant together, because that way we all will we'll get association of everybody, and everybody will get an opportunity to advance in their spiritual practice. Because, you know, in the association, Krishna gives more mercy. Okay? And in the association, by association of the devotees, everybody can correct, like everybody can see like where they are going wrong. So I'm thinking that maybe we should try to enforce this. I just don't know. Like, you know, this is just a thought which came to my mind. So I'm just expressing to this in front of the deities. I just don't know whether this will be possible. Because Krishna has mentioned, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has mentioned in the Shikshashtakam that what did Lord Krishna do? So that's some of the like very simple and very important verses in Shikshashtakam, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu composed. He mentioned that Namna Makari Bahuda Nijasarva Shaktis Tatrarpita Niyamita Smarane Nakalaha Eta Drishi Tavakripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaiva Idrisham Ihajani Nanuragaha. So that is the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's composition. What a wonderful composition. He's saying that he has invested all the potences in the holy name of the Lord. Do not take this in a very extrapolated way. We, even if we do not engage in any deity worship, still that is fine. If we engage in chanting of the holy name, that is good enough. That is good enough. If you go anywhere and you do not have anything, any deities with you, that should be fine enough. That may be fine. But if you have one chanting bead, that's good enough. Chanting bead is because Krishna and him, Krishna and his holy name is non-different. What is that? That from Padma Purana's verse? Nama Chintamani Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinatva Nama Namino. So Abhinatva Nama Namino Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. So this is what? It is Chintamani. That is Chintamani. It can give us everything, whatever we desire. So what do we need? We don't need to take go and ask anybody, oh, give me that, give me this, that. We don't need. Krishna himself has actually invested all his potences in his holy name. And that itself is actually the desire tree. We don't need to ask anybody. And it is Purna Shuddho, completely pure. Even it's like an antiseptic. Even if somebody is impure, even he can become pure by that, by taking the holy name of the Lord. And it is Nitya Mukto. It can give you complete liberation. Whatever we are trying to desire, we are trying to find some bliss, complete bliss, get liberated from all these cataclysms or the material sufferings. And the chanting of the holy name has that potency in that. Okay, an Abhinatva Nama Namino. Krishna and his holy name are not different. So we should try and seek the shelter of the holy name as much as possible. This is what is being explained. So in the external reason is not an ordinary reason why Krishna came. Because Krishna came in the form of Lord Chaitanya just to give the holy name of the Lord. And holy name itself is good enough for us to deliver. Now, in this age of Kali, we have seen in the Srimad Bhagavatam, time and again it is being explained in various verses that this age of Kali may have all full of faults. Okay? Asti hiye ko mahanugun. What is that? Kirtanadeva Krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajet. So it is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. That is the wonderful gift which Lord Krishna has given it to us. Okay? So we should try to embrace that. Try to follow that with a full heart. Take shelter of the holy name. And this is the holy name itself can actually can burn all our sins. Even those which are in the which are still in the seed form, even that can also be burned by the chanting of the holy name. It has been explained in the Nectar of Devotion also. So how potent this chanting of the holy name is. So it needless to say that how significant it is that for all the devotees to take shelter of the holy name. And we should not even compare the chanting of the holy name to any kind of mundane piety at all. Now people might think that, like, you know, so it is being in Sri Ram Rakshas also it is being said that, also been explained that that Ashwamedhadikam punyam samprapnoti na samshaya. So Ashwamedhadikam, even the Ashwamedha yajna. Now in this age of Kali, it is very difficult to perform the Ashwamedh yajna. Ashwamedh yajna is considered to be the most pious yajna. If you do that yajna, you are definitely will get liberation. And if you do 100 Ashwamedh yajna, you will get the position of Brahma. So even that is being considered as, like, you know, as insignificant in front of the chanting of the holy name. Now this is being explained here. Now in the same chapter, and the 79th verse, it says that one who says that 10 million Ashwamedh sacrifices are equal to the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna is undoubtedly an atheist. He is sure to be punished by Yamraj. So this is the glory of chanting of the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada explains that how in the eighth offense it has been explained that, like, you know, one should never ever consider the chanting of the holy name equal to the pious activities like giving charity to Brahmanas or any saintly persons, or opening charitable educational institutions, or distributing free food, and so on. So the results of pious activities do not equal the results of chanting of the holy name. And then Srila Prabhupada quotes one of the beautiful verse from the Vedic scriptures, and the translation goes like this. Even if one distributes 10 million cows in charity during an eclipse of the sun, lives at the confluence of the Ganges and Yamuna for millions of years, or gives a mountain of gold in sacrifice to the Brahmanas, he does not earn 100th part of the merit derived from chanting of Hare Krishna. So this is the glory of chanting of Hare Krishna. Okay. So we should actually understand that how precious gift this is which we have got from Lord Chaitanya. So this is the external reason which is being explained. So on the plea of the pure devotee, like Advaita Acharya Prabhu, who constantly and fervently prayed to Lord Krishna that you please appear in this planet Earth. On that plea, Lord Krishna came. So this is the external reason. Now what are the internal reasons? There are many internal reasons which is being explained here. So one of the internal reasons is that Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains is that Sri Lord Krishna has not tasted one thing. He has actually tasted everything. He has experienced everything. But one thing he did not taste. He did not taste the love which Srimati Radharani, okay, which the bliss which Srimati Radharani experiences. That bliss, that love, that emotion, Lord Krishna did not actually experience. So this is one of the reasons why that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So to take pleasure in the position of Srimati Radharani, that means as a devotee. So that is one of the internal reasons why Lord Krishna appeared. And the second thing is that to understand the sweetness, that what is the sweetness which Srimati Radharani relishes in seeing the Lord Krishna's beauty. It is said that when Lord Krishna saw his own reflection in a pillar of a jewel. So what happened is that he became completely mesmerized by that, by looking at that reflection. So we can imagine that what could Srimati Radharani could have been actually experiencing the sweetness in looking at the Lord Krishna's face. And what does Srimati Radharani do? When Srimati Radharani looks at tamal tree, so she sees the Lord Krishna's complexion, and she goes and tries to embrace that tamal tree. So you can imagine that how the gopis and Srimati Radharani, they are in complete love of Lord Krishna. So that same love, that same sweetness which Srimati Radharani is actually relishing, that love that sweetness, to enjoy that and to experience that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. So this is one of the second reason, internal reason, which is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And the third reason which is being explained here is that to experience the happiness of the pure devotees. All the devotees, they actually see and they try to engage in devotional service and they get some bliss out of it. So what is that sweetness? What is that happiness? What is that bliss which all the devotees, they get out of this? So Lord Krishna is actually very perplexed. And he wants to know that what is this which everybody is trying to enjoy and which I do not know. And that is one of the reasons why he also comes. This is the third reason. And we also see that here is a picture that how Lord Krishna is trying to taste his own toe. So he puts his own toe, the toenail, in his mouth. Because everybody, all the devotees, what do they do? They go and they try to take the shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. And he wants to know that what is there in my own feet? What sweetness is there? What is the what taste or what is that all the devotees relish in my own feet? So let me actually taste that. And that's one of the beautiful picture, and it happens when the complete annihilation happened, and it is explained in the 12th canto. When the whole annihilation happens, so Lord Krishna happens to be on the on a palm tree, on a palm leaflet, and Krishna is relishing his own toe. Okay, so that's the beautiful vision, and this vision is being seen by Markandeya Muni, Markandeya Rishi, and he sees that there is a small effulgent boy, and who's trying to taste his own toenail by putting in his mouth, and he's trying to. Trying to relish that taste. So this is the experience which Lord Krishna wanted to have, to find out that what is the happiness all these devotees derive by taking shelter at my lotus feet. So to experience that, Lord Krishna comes in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the another internal reason which Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in this fifth chapter. So these are the few reasons why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this planet Earth. So he came almost, we know that 500 years back. So 1486 he appeared, and he disappeared in 1533. His lifespan was only 48 years. 24 years he was in a in Grastha Ashram, that means he was in student life, and after from 25th years onwards up to the 48th year, he was in Sannyas Ashram. That is called as a Antalila or later years. And this is the only Leela pastimes which is explained in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in great details. And these details were available to Raghunath Das Goswami through Sri Sarup Damodar Goswami. So Sarup Damodar Prabhu was very close assistant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and without his sanction, not even one composition would go to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even when Sri Rupa Goswami was also trying to compose, so it was everything was supposed to go through Sri Sarup Damodar Prabhu. So Sarup Damodar Prabhu was a close assistant and servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and through him, all the details were delivered to Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, who had an association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 16 years. And then later, the same pastimes were given to Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who was in Sri Vrindavan. And when in Vrindavan, all the devotees were relishing the sweet pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because by then, already Chaitanya Bhagavat, which was named as Chaitanya Mangal, which was written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Every devotee were relishing the sweetness of this of Chaitanya Bhagavat, and they wanted to know more pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then they requested Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that you please write and compose the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On their plea, upon their request, then he went to seek the approval of Madan Mohan. And as he goes to Madan Mohan, he prays to Madan Mohan and asks his permission whether I should actually write the biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just as he prays to Sri Madan Mohan, at that point, a garland falls from the Madan Mohan's neck, and that is actually a consent of Madan Mohan, and all the devotees actually becomes very jubilant that now Madan Mohan has actually sanctioned to write the biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Taking that as an order, Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami then writes this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, as we have seen in Adi Leela, we have actually just gone only to maybe 7th or 13th, up to 13th chapter. We haven't even begun the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are pretty much similar to Lord Krishna's pastimes. We will also see that, because Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, they are not different, as we have already seen. I think we will see the pastimes in detail and some more teachings in our next session. But I think in our next session I may not have time to cover a couple of important points. And I thought like maybe I should describe this at the end of our session. Lord Chaitanya's one of the greatest gift to all the devotees is that he has actually extracted the most important practices from different Vaishnava sampradayas. See, one of the important thing is that all the saints, what they have done, they have, whenever they have actually become self-realized, or whenever they have actually attained their perfection of their life, they went around to see how people are in general are suffering, how different practices are being practiced in general among the society. So all the saints, they have actually traveled all around the India. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not an exception for that. So what did he do? He also went around. He traveled the South India and to different other places, and he studied all the different sampradayas. From every sampradaya, from every different lineages or different schools, he took two very prominent practices. So from Lakshmi Sampradaya or Sri Sampradaya, he took two important practices. And those practices are Ananya Bhakti and Bhakti Jana Seva. Ananya Bhakti means what? Ananya Bhakti means the concept of unalloyed devotion. Unalloyed devotion means which is free from any jnana or karma. Generally, what happens is that our devotional practice is mixed with devotion. Mixed with karma or jnana. So it is called as a karma mishra bhakti or jnana mishra bhakti. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has actually taken the complete unalloyed devotion. That is called ananya bhakti. And the second practice which he has taken from Sri Sampradaya is the bhakta jana seva. That means service to devotees. And we see that how in our sampradaya we give so much significance or so much importance to serving the devotees. And the another sampradaya is Madhva sampradaya. From Madhva sampradaya, what did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? One of the very important point of Sri Madhva sampradaya is that Madhva sampradaya is very very intellectuals. In those days, Madhva sampradaya annihilated completely what the Advaita philosophy. So he, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, took the same principle. He said, Kevala Advaita Nirsan. So he took that those principles of defeating the Mayavad philosophy. And Srila Prabhupada did the same thing. What did he do? If you see the Bhagavad Gita, all the time Srila Prabhupada, what did he do? He actually defeats the Mayavad philosophy, left and right. And even during his talks, you will see that Srila Prabhupada was very heavy chastising the Mayavad philosophy. And from where did he get it? from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got this got the principle from Madhva Sampradaya. And then another point which he took from Madhva Sampradaya is that the worship of the deities of Krishna, understanding them to be the complete eternal. That means Krishna Murti Sevan. Krishna Murti Sevan. And we, in our Sampradaya, we also give so much significance to deity worship. How much we actually, we take care of the deities. Even at the home also, we take care of the deities so much. We offer them the food. We actually try to do, worship at least one aarti at home. Even on the altar in the temple, we have 6 different offerings, 7 times aartis, and so much cleanliness, so much punctuality we try to follow. At least we try to follow that. So in our sampradaya, this is what we got it from Madhva Sampradaya. And then the third sampradaya, which is the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, and from that we got the Tadiya Sarva. Sarvasva Bhava, that means the sentimentality or the idea of total dependency on Krishna. And this is what Srila Prabhupada has been actually telling us time and again. And what Srila Prabhupada has actually exhibited this by his own example, that how we have to completely dependent on Krishna. And even in the 19.66, that is the conclusion verse of that, Srila Prabhupada actually explains the whole the Samarpan Bhav. He actually explains that how one should be actually completely surrendered to Lord Krishna. And he gives all different aspects of that entire complete Samarpan. And then another point which has been taken from Vishnu Swami is Raga Marga, the path of spontaneous devotional service. Of course, now this is, we don't have that, but Srila Prabhupada actually explains in the commentary of Nectar of Devotion, which is written by Srila Rupa Goswami, how Raga Marga, that we should actually try to follow the Raga Marga and try to get into that Raga Marga over the period of time as we practice the Sadhana Bhakti, and when we should try and enter into the Raga Marga. And then the last sampradaya is the Nimbarka Sampradaya. From the Nimbarka Sampradaya, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got is that Ekanta Radhikashraya. That is the need of taking exclusive shelter of Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada's own father, he said that if my son becomes a devotee of Srimati Radharani, so that will be fulfillment of my life. That is what Srila Prabhupada's father has said. So in our sampradaya, it is the worship of Srimati Radharani is considered as very supreme, significant. And because Srimati Radharani is a ashraya vigraha, and Sri Lord Krishna is a vishaya vigraha. So vishaya vigraha means his object of love, and Srimati Radharani is shelter. She is actually the lover. And through our approach to Lord Krishna is through Srimati Radharani. That's one of the, and that's why we always pray to Srimati Radharani that please give us shelter of your lotus feet. We pray, and in our sampradaya we give so much significance in celebrating even Srimati Radharani's appearance day. Radhashtami, in fact, that should be considered to be the most significant festival. And Srila Prabhupada also mentioned in one of his talk, all his talk he was explaining about who is Lord Krishna, and in the end he explained that how this Lord Krishna, who is omnipotent, omniscient, who is supreme powerful, who is the supreme personality of Godhead, he is actually is captivated, and he is he is a servant of Srimati Radharani. He becomes subservient to Srimati Radharani. So we can see that how Lord Krishna, he himself, being so powerful, he becomes subservient to his own devotees. And then the last point, the second point which we got from Nimbarka Sampradaya is Gopi Bhav, the exalted mood of gopis, gopis' love for Krishna. So that's, and which is being explained even in the description, even in the conversation between Ramanand Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Gopi's love is the highest exalted love. And that is all of us, like, you know, our endeavor is to get into that love. Like, that is the highest form of love, which all of us try to enter into that. That's difficult, but that is our aspiration. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the highest and the most sublime goal for all of us. We have got everything ready-made. Because see, the first, how irony it is, we know the highest form, highest goal, we know the process also, but still we are not able to get into that. Like, we are not able to get follow the process properly, and we are not able to achieve the goal also. This is like, you know, very like, you know, in one way irony of all of our devotees, that, like, you know, we have got such a wonderful philosophy, such a sublime process, and the ultimate goal of life, which has been given to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all our acharyas and by Srila Prabhupada. But still we don't take benefit of that, and we do not make, like, wholehearted attempt to achieve that ultimate goal. I think through this, like, you know, whatever we have heard and whatever we have gotten this ultimate gift, we should try to understand the significance of it, how rare, how fortunate we are, and we try to take shelter of the holy name of Lord Hari, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, and try to achieve or attain the sublime goal which has been given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to us. In our next class, we will try to see the different pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The whole pastimes are, like, you know, very sweet and nectarian pastimes. We will try to see all those pastimes in our next class, and we'll try to see some more philosophy. And if time permits, we will also try to see on Tuesday also some more things about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. I think I would like to stop here, though we, like, you know, I have gone 20 minutes over, but one of the reasons was that since we were still doing cut up, so I thought, like, you know, maybe I should still speak until you finish the cut up. Anybody has any